The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Yeah, the CSO today has launched its new gender equality database. So this is a hub on the CSO website. They've compiled all of this information comparing men and women in society. It confirms, well, I guess what some of you suspected. I mean, it is to a degree a man's world. Saoirse Hanley is with me, the features writer at the Irish Independent, Estelle Birdie, the author and journalist, and Fergus Finlay, former CEO of Barnardo's, Irish Examiner columnist as well. You're all very, very welcome. Saoirse, is it a man's world?
I suppose we already knew it was, wasn't it? Now we've just gotten data confirmation. I suppose, yeah. I mean, look, I think so. And I think that it's kind of nice for the CSO to make a resource that you can point people to now if they disagree with me.
So there's lots of different stuff in this. We can't go through it all. We won't go through it all. There's a couple of areas that we might pick out in a moment. But Fergus, did anything kind of surprise you about the kind of the overall picture it painted?
Nothing surprised me. The overall picture is a shocking one. I mean, this is the first time that CSO has gathered all the data in one place, and they put it down in a way that makes it accessible, and they would be able to update it regularly and so on. And what it tells us is that the average Irish woman, well, women all over the world on average live longer than men. They tend to live longer than men. And women in Ireland live longer than Irish men. They don't live as long as women in Europe. So that's the first thing. But living longer than men, they're much more likely to live in consistent poverty. They're much more likely to be better qualified. They're much more likely to be in lower paid jobs. The discrimination against women, the nature of the society we live in, it's copper fastened in this report or in this hub. Every page you look at shows you injustice. And I'm sorry for using that word, but every single page you look at of the hub, and there I printed out the first 10 pages, and every single statistic says this is a man's world, and it's a man's world that men are making a mess of.
Estelle, did you see injustice on every page?
No, because I didn't see injustice on every page, no. I think you need to drill down a little bit more into some of these statistics. Why, you know, why are women working part-time? Why are they earning, you know, almost 10% less per hour than men? You know, there may be various reasons for that. We don't actually know from that raw data. What I found more, I did actually find it quite shocking that, you know, the differential between women in Europe, that they do live significantly longer. Their life expectancy is significantly longer than Irish women. The qualifications, you know, you can say that that's injustice, but who is it injustice against? Males are less qualified. Women are more qualified. They're reaching a higher level of education than men.
They're working harder.
But the thing is, they are reaching a higher level of attainment in education. So we need to look at that too. What's the situation with men? They're going into apprenticeships more. Myself and Fergus were discussing outside about the construction, that's overwhelmingly, I think it's 90% men. Some of that is going to be the physicality of construction. Now, that's just the biological reality that women aren't as physically capable of some of those heavier manual jobs. But having said that, there are jobs in construction that women could be doing and might want to do. And as Fergus has said, there are problems on sites like, you know, that women are discriminated against or not listened to, you know, so that women who are in engineering or whatever on construction sites, they are to some extent being driven out of it.
There was a couple of specific stats I wanted to bring up, and two of them I kind of wanted to talk about together, Saoirse. One of which is around women providing more unpaid hours as carers to friends or family, the majority of those in kind of 50 to 55 age bracket. And the other was women working from home to a much greater degree than men and working part-time. And why I want to talk about them together is I suspect, and people absolutely correct me if I'm wrong, but I suspect for some, not for all, but for some women working from home, the reason they do it is because, like, domestic duties, if we'll call them that, still largely kind of fall on the shoulders of women. So that's why I kind of wanted to talk about both of those together.
And it was the first thing that came to mind when I was looking through the stats, that a lot of them do kind of sandwich together for one reason or the other. Like, you know, if I work from home, that's automatically going to be a day where more things get done at home, because on your lunch you throw on a wash or you can do X, Y, Z. And I, you know, I say that as someone who doesn't have any children. Like, I can't imagine if I was somebody who was living with a partner and kids and maybe the domestic duties did fall to me more, it would make more sense to work from home and get those done, which is, you know, maybe it's a grand aspersion to cast, but it does seem to me like those things go hand in hand a bit, that if you are somebody who's expected maybe within the home to do a lot more, you know, domestic duties, it's going to be easier for you to fit that around your schedule, which doesn't really include a commute and turning up at an office and doing all of that. Like, I think a lot of it is, it's interesting to have data that backs up what we already know is kind of like an attitude thing, right? That, like, you know, I don't know if anybody's watching the new season of Married at First Sight, but there's a whole thing that keeps happening where this one couple that have been together, the woman keeps trying to show the man how to make the bed because he's just not done it and he doesn't do it. And she keeps being like, oh, come on in now. Well, I can't do the Aussie accent. I think I'd get in big trouble if I did.
So making a bed.
That's easy. Of all the things, of all the domestic duties to not do, making a bed is arguably one of the easiest ones to do. But it's a minute example of the attitudes that some of us have towards some of these things. And it shows up in some of the jobs that were more represented by women anyway. You know, like those caring jobs and those, whether that's in an unpaid capacity or in a job.
But what that points to, and what all of this points to, is a patriarchal system, a patriarchal education system, a system in which education gives expectations of a certain kind to men and of a different kind to women. The whole range, we were talking about construction, the whole range of professions in the construction sector, engineering being a prime example, which are positively hostile to women, which do not make women welcome. Senior positions in the hotel sector. You can't visit a school in Ireland without seeing, secondary or primary, without seeing a very, very large cohort of female teachers. The principal is 90% of the time a man. Like, these are just data points, perhaps, but what they tell us is a society which just hasn't moved on.
Estelle, maybe I'm interpreting it all the wrong way. Maybe women just want to be at home.
That's a good point, because we're looking at this, and men are looking at this in particular, through a patriarchal lens, through the lens of a system that it was set up by men for men, and structures that were set up for men. So I would like to see, following on from these data, actually going out and asking the women, why are you working part time? We're more than economic units.
Sorry, so what's patriarchal is my assumption that it's a bad thing to be at home.
Well, I'm not saying that you're assuming that, but
well,
people may
do.
Assume, you know, that you're working from home.
No,
can I just finish, Fergus? Fergus, can I please just finish? Fergus, can I just finish?
Let make a point and then I'll let you in.
What I'm saying is, we're not asking the women why they're working at home. Working from home, I personally would prefer to work from home. And, you know, that has increased, according to the data, by 306% since COVID, that women are choosing to work at home. So why don't we ask the women what they want from society? What we need is a reordering of society. Coming to the unpaid care part, I'd be a little bit more of an ambitious feminist around that. I think that caring, specialised caring for disabled people beyond mothering, that should be paid, absolutely. And it should be paid un-means-tested pay for those women.
Somebody here is rejecting the idea that the system is patriarchal because their wife never cleans the gutters or empties the septic tank. But anyway, you wanted to jump in there, Fergus.
I mean, if we want to ask women what they would really like, would they like to work from home, why don't we ask women, would they like to be paid the same as men? Why don't they ask women, would they like to fill as many management roles as men do? Why don't we ask women, would they like some of the glass ceilings in virtually every form of employment to be removed? Why don't we ask women those kind of questions instead of asking, are you happy working at home?
Well, that's it. I think that is a good point Fergus has made, because it's not a case of, you know, Sally gets paid the same amount as Jim, so therefore we have fixed gender disparity. It's that the higher paying roles are just less open to women, or they have, or like they're, you know, a job that's given to women because they have to fulfill that quota now that say, you know, there's pressure on all these companies for good reason to have women in those higher management positions. But I think that people forget that that's the crux of the gender pay gap. It's not that, you know, you can't just pay people the same thing and say, well, now it's fine. It's that structurally there are less women at the top of that pyramid getting that like way bigger slice of the cake.
Despite the fact that there are more women with higher qualifications. Mm-hmm.
But we're still not asking women. We're not going out and asking women, what do you want? We're talking about a very patriarchal society and system. And on that we can all agree.
Yeah.
It was set up by men for men. We're still not. We're just looking at this and we're assuming that those women are being put upon who are working part time, who are working from home. And we're not asking women how they would like society to be structured.
Fergus mentioned kind of teachers and the predominance of kind of female teachers, despite the fact that most principals are men. And you see that in other kind of what we call them kind of nurturing sectors. So kind of nursing and SNAs and carers and everything, far more women. That now there's an argument, Estelle, that is as a result of kind of cultural engineering, as it were, that we're kind of, you know, the environment we're brought up in, it kind of creates this a presumption that role is for women. There's another argument that just kind of women naturally in a kind of a Lord of the Flies type environment would be more inclined to work but in those areas anyway.
We're dealing with both. Obviously, women.
So it's a bit from column A and a bit from column B.
It's a bit from column B as well. So what we should have done as feminists years ago, and I completely understand why we fought for women to be recognised as engineers, doctors, lawyers, all of that. We needed to do that because they were shut out completely. They're no longer shut out completely. They may not be getting in the great numbers to the top levels of management, but they are, you know, we are, all careers are open to us basically now. But at the same time, what we should have been doing was elevating those caring professions, elevating nursing to the same level as engineering. It you know, nursing or teaching are at least as important as the engineer or the IT consultant. And they should be paid accordingly and they should be recognised. The value of them to society should be recognised. So things that women do naturally gravitate towards, they should be given absolutely as much importance in society as the engineer or the IT.
But it works both ways too.
But they should be.
Because
they should
be. The patriarchy affects like all genders terribly in a lot of the same ways. In that if we look at the inverse of that, like a lot of men, I'm assuming, would also think of some of these professions as more, you know, more female led, and would therefore maybe be slightly turned off going into them. I don't know anybody who's a male nurse. I know very little male primary teachers.
I do.
The childcare sector is a very good example of that. Very, very few men employed in the childcare sector, and it's a well-known fact. And I worked in the childcare sector myself for years. If there were more men, rates of pay would be higher. They would be driven up by that fact.
But the opposite is also true. If you elevated childcare, as they do in Scandinavian countries, where much more men are involved, the way around you need to do it is to elevate the position of that in society. Childcare is really important. We should have state-run childcare. And those positions should be elevated. They're important positions. Then men would pay them more. Yeah. Men would enter those professions.
We've only kind of scratched the surface of all of this information that's been put up in this.
Before you go, what we need to change this. We need a referendum to change how women are perceived in the constitution.
That's a great idea.
It's going to start. Yeah, it's going to start again.
Sounds familiar.
Take your beating, Fergus.
Saoirse Hanley, features writer with the Irish Independent. Estelle Birdie, the author and journalist. Fergus Finlay, former CEO of Barnardo's, Irish Examiner columnist as well. Thank you all very much for joining me on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.